Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for October 20th, 2006. This week, Justin Warner tells us why engineers are working long hours to copy the surface on a small lizard's toes. And Chelsea Wald reports on new lessons learned about human nature from the indigenous people of Papua New Guinea. But first, the idea of naming a star after a friend or loved one is touching. That's probably why so-called star registry companies have been so successful. But Chelsea spoke to an astronomer who says that naming a star may not be what you think.
Perhaps you've gotten an offer in the mail to name a star. In return, the company will send you a certificate and often a star chart with your star circled. Well, in this month's Skeptical Inquirer magazine, astronomer Phil Plait of Sonoma State University explains that astronomers don't know or use the names given by these companies. When astronomers want to know the names of stars, they look at catalogs published in scientific journals.
But by the company saying that this is the official name, that makes it seem like astronomers are going to know what it is. And so that's sort of dishonest. And it also fools people into thinking that if they go to an observatory and ask to see their star, they'll be able to.
He says if people want to pay these companies, that's up to them, but they do just as well printing up a certificate themselves.
Thanks, Chelsea. Well, many plans to eliminate fossil fuels depend on developing new energy technologies, but we don't have to wait for that, according to chemical engineer Raul Chinar of the City University of New York. He and Francesco Citro recently published a 30-year plan to replace 70% of our fossil fuels using only current technologies like storable solar power, safer nuclear plants, and methanol from crop waste.
Because as a researcher, I have always believed that if you have to solve a problem, you have to use what you have. And I studied it carefully, and to my surprise, I found we have it.
He says the switch would cost about $200 billion a year. It's not pocket change, but it's less than half the current defense budget and doesn't factor in savings from reducing fossil fuel imports, pollution, and global warming. Next, Justin Warner brings us a report on a new technology that probably won't help with our addiction to oil, but may stimulate your enthusiasm for small lizards.
At the moment, geckos are best known for hawking car insurance, but they're also marvels of engineering. That's because the surface of a gecko's toe is packed with millions of tiny, spatula-shaped hairs. These hairs create enough friction to allow the gecko to scamper effortlessly up smooth walls and enough adhesion to hang its entire body weight from a single toe. And yet, the hairs can release their grip just as quickly and easily as they stick. With funding from the National Science Foundation and the Defense Department, electrical engineer and computer scientist Ron Fearing of the University of California at Berkeley is leading an effort to create artificial microfibers that act like gecko feet. Their current prototype packs 250 million hairs per square inch.
These hairs make intimate contact with glass, and they don't slip. It's very, very high friction. But it doesn't quite work like the gecko, because if you try to pull it off, it just pulls off really, really easily, actually much easier than the gecko pulls off. So we'd say whether we're about halfway there in terms of building a structure that mimics the key aspects of gecko hairs and gecko feet.
He says their current material could provide good traction for tires and shoes, but something that also sticks and releases like gecko feet may have more colorful applications, from pain-free adhesive bandages to wall-climbing robots.
Thanks, Justin. Compounds called conjugated linoleic acids, or CLAs, help prevent cancer, fight infections, treat diabetes, and even help you drop extra pounds. But attempts to create meat and eggs high in CLAs have failed. So now, researchers at Ohio State University and in South Korea have turned to silkworms. Silkworms fed CLAs store lots of them in their fat, making them a very healthy snack. And though you may not have eaten silkworms recently, powdered silkworm is a common dietary supplement in Asia. In other bug news, researchers at Johns Hopkins are looking closely at the mosquito's immune system, with the goal of making it better able to fight off infections. But it's not mosquitoes' health they're worried about. Mosquitoes that could fight off malaria parasites would be a valuable weapon against the disease in humans. Finally, scientists often turn to indigenous tribes to gain insights into the evolution of human societies, since many of these tribes are relatively untouched by modern laws. Chelsea has this report on what one team recently learned about our willingness to help others.
Research with two tribes in Papua New Guinea suggests there's a deep-seated preference for helping fellow citizens over foreigners. A Swiss team led by economist Ernst Fehr of the University of Zurich tested this with a game using money and three anonymous players identified only by their tribes. In the game, one player could choose to financially punish another for not being fair to a third person. They found that the punishers tended to be harsher when the victims were members of their own tribes, meaning they were more protective of their fellow tribe members than of outsiders. Fehr says this tendency likely translates to modern societies.
These same sentiments show up when you have to judge in jury trials, when you are the boss of a work team and you evaluate the effort behavior of the employees and so on and so on. So there are infinitely many situations where you could imagine that this plays a role.
And he says the bias could extend to race, religion, gender, and any other groups that people belong to. While this is usually undesirable in modern societies, Fehr says the bias makes sense in the context of early human evolution, in part because punishing outsiders harshly serves to protect the entire group from future attacks.
Thanks, Chelsea. Well, that's all for this week. Next time, we'll reveal the surprisingly masculine face of compulsive shopping and give you the latest on the health benefits of smoking bans in bars. In the meantime, please visit our website at www.scienceupdate.com to ask your science questions and give your feedback. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.